BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
We're on in the mornings this week, so this is the Scott Mills Daily Podcast for the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. We introduce you to the Wolf of Worthing. Also, we speak to James Arthur ahead of his live lounge from his actual bed. Gemma Chan and Emily Barrington from Channel 4's Humans join us and try and convince us they're not robots. And the mother of all innuendo bingos with Honey G. Scott Mills, BBC Radio. This is the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills in for Grimmy all the rest of the week. It's 6:44. Me and Chris went to see a film last night together. That's right, a film called A Street Cat Named Bob. I really enjoyed it.
Really good.
I didn't know anything about it before, but I know it's been a book already. It's about this guy who, well, I think he was pretty much homeless, and then he moved into kind of some accommodation, and this cat was following him around and wouldn't leave his side.
This is the problem. You actually did know a little bit before the film, and this is how you described it to me. And I've got to be honest, when I was hearing you describe it, I was like, is this really
like
a film?
Doesn't sound like it's for me. What, they're gonna spin this out for a whole film?
Yeah.
So, okay, like, if I described it to you like this, would you want to go and see it at the cinema? So, man finds cat in his house, cat keeps coming back, then the guy's a busker, then the cat basically stands on his shoulder all the time while he's busking.
Sounds
the
rubbish.
End. Would you go and see that, everyone?
No. But it's well good. And also, I don't particularly like cats, but this film makes me really, really like cats now.
And later in the week on the show, we have got Joanne Froggatt coming in. Used to be in Downton, and she is in this film.
Yeah, she plays a kind of therapist character.
What
like
day
a,
is
like
that?
Like a counsellor.
That's on Thursday. Joanne's coming in. Got loads of guests this week. Mm. She was really good in it. I thought it was a really sweet film. I almost had a little cry.
Did you?
Night. Yeah. Did you not know?
No, I didn't.
You know, I walked out really really quiet. That's because I was like, oh, okay. No, I wouldn't say I had tears, but I felt that kind of somber feeling that you get.
I've never seen you get emo to TV or films.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Joanne is coming in on Thursday morning on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Then the weirdest thing happened, right? So I got a taxi back home, got out of the taxi. On like my back gate of Echo Falls, where I live, It's basically the same cat.
No.
Like a ginger cat. So I'm like, this is a sign. This is my Bob.
So what? Yeah, the cat's called Bob. So what did you do? Did you take it in?
No, I didn't. But I realised that cat's been there pretty much every day for the last 2 years.
Whoa.
And I think if I start singing and put it on my shoulder, there's going to be a book, there's going to be a film. Literally looks exactly the same as the cat in the film.
3, 2, 1.
Radio 1's Team
Award. Watch it now on BBC iPlayer.
Do you want some Jess Glynn from the Teen Awards? Of course you do. I think she's left now. She's in the car.
It's like hold music, this bit, isn't it?
Oh, no, she's still there.
She had a proper jazzy jacket on. Proper jazzy.
Quite Eurovision. Jess Glynn. Not the performance.
That's harsh.
I mean, the jacket was really like silver and that, wasn't it? Where do you buy that? Ain't Got Far To Go by Jess Glynn on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. It's 6:52. Good morning to Meg in Warrington. Happy 17th birthday today. She's got that thing a bit like on Christmas Day where, you know, you're lying in bed and you're just waiting for everyone else to wake up. She says, also, my sister and I went to the Teen Awards on Sunday. It was so good. Well, let me be the first, Meg, to wish you a happy 17th birthday. There's nothing worse than when it's like, hang on, it's 10 to 7, it's my birthday. Why has no one woken up?
Yeah, and you really want to...
Why is someone not wishing me a happy birthday and showering me with presents?
Yeah, and at that point, you want to make the most of your birthday, don't you? I mean, every minute counts.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway, happy birthday! This is Radio 1. Quite late on last night, did you see First Dates?
I missed it. Was it good?
It's one of my fave shows, but I think this could have been the cringest episode ever. Just because of one guy. Do you want to meet Justin? You do. Here he is.
This is Justin.
Hi there.
Hi there.
He's already good, isn't he?
Hi there.
Hi there. Justin, or sometimes called...
My friends have described me as the Wolf of Worthing.
Every day it's sports cars, super yachts. In fact, sometimes I just wish I had a normal life like everyone else.
He does sports cars, he does yachts, and he does it all in Worthing. Just on the seafront there next to the pier in Sussex.
Don't call yourself the wolf of Worthing. Now, any town with a W, you're not a wolf there.
No.
You're not the Wolf of Watford.
No.
You're not the Wolf of Worthing. You're not the Wolf of Wigan. The Wolf of Wigan.
Let's meet his date, Maisie, who sounds really nice.
I had a nightmare this morning. I was walking to the tube station and I was getting wolf-whistled by these builders. And I was like, oh, I must look nice. And then I looked at another guy and his eyes looked like they were about to fall out of his head. And I didn't realise that my entire boob had fallen out.
Okay, good. It's an icebreaker.
Is this made in Chelsea? It sounds a bit like that.
Wait for Justin's brilliant joke, though, that he tells Maisie.
I mean, I am a daddy's girl, but not, like, rah, 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 kind of daddy's girl.
Let me guess, you've got horses.
No, I haven't. No, I used to horse ride when I was younger. Do you ride?
Yeah, not that sort of riding, but... crude joke.
That took me a second.
What a catch.
Hi there.
Can we hear the Wolf of Worthing bit again, please? It's too good.
My friends have described me as the Wolf of Worthing. Every day it's sports cars, super yachts.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes I just wish I had a normal life like everyone else.
Yeah. Just channel your own Wolf of Worthing today on your way to work.
Hi there.
Morning, Radio 1, who's this?
Morning, Sky. It's Kerry from Portsmouth.
Kerry, how are you? What's going on?
Well, did you catch the Walking Dead premiere last night, Scott?
Do you know what? I didn't. I don't actually watch it, but all my friends, as always, with anything, are like, you need to get into this,
Scott.
Yeah,
I noticed that loads of people were talking about this
last
night.
Was it like the season premiere or something? I hate... I just said season. Was it the series premiere?
It was indeed, yes.
Right, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling a bit weird. A bit emotional, a bit angry. It's just too early for all these emotions.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to say what happened, but I saw on Twitter, like, people, loads of people tweeting their emotions and generally expressing their sadness. What are you going to do?
Well, I think I'm just going to mope about all day about it, if I'm honest.
Are you going to continue watching it?
Oh, of course. You can't just stop watching it. It sucks you right in. You can't.
The fans are not amused, though, are they?
We are not amused, no, absolutely not.
And you probably weren't expecting it?
No, completely not expected.
I mean, one of the things you probably were, but not the other one, right?
That's right, exactly. The other one, I nearly fell off my sofa. I couldn't believe it.
Obviously,
so confused.
We can't say why you're devastated, but do you need a hug?
Yes, Scott, I do need a hug.
Okay, hon, sending you a hug now, all right?
Thanks, Scott.
Love you, bye.
Appreciate it. Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Someone says the Wolf of Worthing is better than being called the Dog of Dartford. Oh, I hope that wasn't your nickname.
That wouldn't be a self-appointed nickname, would it?
Pick up Dartford. Shout out to Dartford. No, I think, no, that would definitely be someone else.
Yeah, I'm not that... You wouldn't call yourself the Dog of Dartford.
I'm enjoying some of the variations that people are sending in of the Wolf of Worthing, some of which we really can't read out. Have you seen Humans on Channel 4? It's a great show. Gemma Chan and Emily Berrington from the amazing Channel 4 show Humans are in after 8 o'clock. They tweeted yesterday going, we promise to be nice to the humans, because they're not humans in the show yet, if you've not seen it.
You said to Adele, we're kind of late to that show.
Well, I'm late to every show, but I started watching it this week. And tonight, I know that I'll be going home and watching probably the rest of the series in one go. After 9, playing Innuendo Bingo for the first time ever, Honey G. All right, stop, collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, throw like a harpoon daily and nightly. 3 people on the show today that I'm actually really, really excited to meet.
It's a power day, isn't it?
Massive. Gemma Chan, Emily Berrington. And then Honey G gets water spat on her at 9:10. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. Real or no real time, which we do in the afternoon normally at 3:40, but we're moving it to the mornings this week. And good morning, Esme.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes, really good, thanks.
Now, we've spoken to you before in the afternoon on the normal show, haven't we?
Yes, we sure have.
You're the opera singer, right?
That's me.
Yeah, that's why the hello was slightly operatic.
Yeah, quite jazzy.
Yeah, good. Wake you up in the morning.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm just at the moment kind of getting ready, and then I've got rehearsals all day today.
What's your job, sorry? What are you rehearsing for?
Well, so I'm a student at the City Lit at the moment, so we're kind of rehearsing for our Christmas show. Come along if you want. So that's going to be in December, and it's all just like opera scenes, so obviously we're all just in the midst of that.
What a cool job.
It really is. I just literally love it.
Oh, I know I asked before, but can I have a little blast?
Oh, come on.
Come on. I mean, I know that I'm treating you like a performing monkey, but yeah. But it's all rehearsal, isn't it?
What do you mean? Okay.
Actually ridiculous.
So good.
That echo, though.
Do you sing in the shower?
Yes. Funny story. So my ex, he was out of work and I was having a cheeky shower and I decided to, you know, practice all my opera. Right. And then all of his family came round and I didn't realise anyone had come in and I'm pure belting it out. And then I just get a knock on the door like, hey, me, just let you know, we're all here and we can all hear you.
Oh,
I was
awful.
Like, oh, God. God.
Do you know what, Esme?
Yeah.
You've definitely got the range. All right, let's play today's Real or No Real.
Woo! Despite writing a song for him, Harry Styles has admitted that for years he thought Michael Bublé was actually called Michael Bubble.
Right.
Right, everyone knows that it's Michael Bublé. Come on.
I actually know a lot of people who have said it's Michael Bublé, so I might have to agree with this one.
No, but that's what people say when they know it's Bublé. They just go, oh, Mickey Bubble.
No, not these people. With some people in Essex, I think you'd be surprised. I know a lot of people.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Did he ever release the Bublé bath? Did that ever become a thing?
The what?
Bublé bath. Oh.
Have you ever mentioned that to me before?
Bublé bath?
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like weird? You'd buy a Bublé bath.
I actually would, because he smells great. I've smelt him myself.
How much would you like a Bublé bath right now?
That's weird.
0 out of 10.
I wonder if there's someone somewhere having a Bublé bath right now.
There's something a little bit hot about him, isn't there?
What? Like what?
Bublé. When they take the dust sheets off, like around now, and it's Christmas again. Real or no real, Harry Styles used to think that Michael Bublé was called Michael Bubble.
Definitely real.
No, surely not. I'm going to say no real.
That one is no real.
Oh, what?
Made up, although amazing news. Do you remember that song that Meghan Trainor said she was writing with Harry Styles? Where it turns out it was for none other than Michael Bublé.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Cool.
What type of music do we think it's going to be? Do you think Harry Styles has taken the sort of Charlie Puth role?
Bit of swing.
Yeah. I'm hoping for opera.
Oh, death, yeah. I'll feature on that.
Do you actually like opera or can you just sing opera?
No, I love it. It's such an experience. I'll take you to the opera.
Okay, good. We're on for that.
Okay.
Also, I've seen it in films. Do I get those binoculars?
Yeah. The ones with the stick.
No.
The stick, the glasses and stick, yeah?
Is that still on?
Well, it depends what opera house you go to, but in London, though. Well, in the Coliseum, you get them if you're, like, right at the back. But,
obsessed. What's the point?
Yeah, sorry. Poosh.
And here's your next fact.
None of the bakes used as examples on the Great British Bake Off are actually made by Paul Hollywood or Mary Berry.
Oh, I really hope. I really hope they are made by them.
Sometimes you just don't want to know too much about the TV because it just spoils it for you, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is, there was this, like, BuzzFeed article that says, like, all the truth about Bake Off, and I swear on there they said that they're actually made by them.
Oh, really?
So maybe I might have some insider goss.
Okay.
Well, that's okay, because then that would suggest that it's no real, and you can go with that answer. That's what we've got to try and work out. I mean, that would annoy me.
It would annoy him as much as when I told him that the first dates people don't actually work there.
They don't?
Nah. It's like the apprentice on the boardroom.
Oh, the apprentice boardroom one is the one that, yeah, annoys me more than any of them at the moment. So you know when Alan Sugar appears in the boardroom through a door, you sort of see his silhouette for a second and he walks through?
Yeah.
Apparently there's nothing on the other side of that door.
It's a TV set.
It's just a wall.
This is so upsetting. I know. The illusion of television is the best thing.
So you've got Claude and Karen sat there waiting for him, right?
And he's just behind a wall.
He's literally stood behind a wall there just waiting for someone to go,
go.
It's like on TV sets when they have stairs. It's never stairs. It's always just a wall and stairs, and then they go on to another bit of a set, and then it's more stairs.
Well, I've always wondered this, if anyone can answer, either of you two might know, or anyone else, the Take Me Out lift. I assume it just hovers at the top when they go back up in the lift, right?
I thought there was like a ceiling and they had to bend down, because sometimes you see them bend a little bit.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, like, so it's essentially like the roof of the top, where the top of the lift would be, you're kind of like crouched in a little cave.
Right, we need to get McGuinness on and confirm or deny.
I'm not sure there is a first floor on the lift.
Wow.
None of the bakes on Bake Off are made by either Mary or Paul, real or no real, Esme?
Okay, wait, if I say there's a lot of double negatives in there, so like if I say no real, does it mean that they are made by the... Yeah, okay, so no real.
None of the bakes. Yeah, I know what you're saying there. Yeah, I've got faith in them, so I'm going to say no real.
That one is real.
Oh, what?
Oh. Sorry to ruin it for you guys. producers confirmed this week that despite setting the technical challenge and then showing off the perfect example of how it should be done, neither Mary or Paul actually bake anything on the show.
So who does? Who are the bakers?
Well, it's some other bakers.
Well, they should identify themselves.
Why?
They're the new presenters.
Yes.
The new cooks on the new channel. Sorry, I can't really speak about that, can you?
No.
Taboo.
No.
No, we can talk about it if you want. What do you want to say on the subject?
No, it's just upsetting for this time in the morning, isn't it? So let's not.
Yeah. I'll cry the whole day.
And next!
It's been revealed that on last weekend's X Factor, Sharon Osbourne had her acts written down on 4 sheets of paper, both hands, and on placards held by 2 TV execs so she wouldn't forget anyone's name.
Well, bless her. It was just Simon trolling her, wasn't it?
Well, look, she has made mistakes week after week. I missed most of Saturday night's X Factor. So did something happen? Did she forget again?
No, not this week.
Sharon, if you would, please introduce your act.
OK, everybody, now is the song word from abroad.
Finland. Finland.
Zara.
That's her name.
Oh, bless.
But did Sharon have it written everywhere, 4 sheets of paper, on both hands, and held up by placards by 2 producers on the show so that she wouldn't forget?
I think it's real.
3 weeks in, they're learning from their mistakes. This is probably one of the most important jobs, because she will get it wrong unless people do this. So I'm going to go real.
That one is no real.
Absolutely made up, although she did suspiciously get through the entire show without one mishap. How?
As you said, I think it must have been placards, sort of illuminated signs, everything, someone in her ear.
At the end of that round of real or no real.
Do you know what? It's so low scoring. I got 10. Esme, unfortunately, you got nothing.
Oh, God, what have I done?
Rubbish. Do you know what I was just thinking?
What?
You would be great at waking people up in the morning.
Or the most annoying thing ever.
No, but I think it'd be good. Like, can we speak to you tomorrow? We're going to formulate a plan today.
Right, okay.
Would you mind?
No, of course. Anything for you guys.
Oh, I like this. So, like, what are you suggesting here, Scott? Like a blast of opera?
Yeah, like a human alarm clock.
Do you know what? I think a breakfast show needs a bit of class.
I think that's what Radio 1's missing at breakfast time, opera.
Yeah.
It is great to invigorate you for the day.
Yeah, I might give you a ring tomorrow then, all right?
Yeah.
All right, have a good day, Esme. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Top down.
Is it worth it? Let me work it.
Same.
Put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. It's nerf it, dip it, the fine thing. It's nerf the bit, dip it, the dead.
Why is she doing that?
Got a big, let me
it's so true. She's doing the reverse bit, isn't she?
But she's actually singing. They aren't words. That's just reversed in the song.
Peter Griffin.
Missy Elliott. Missy Elliott never sings that.
Is it worth it? Let me work.
Looking forward to bingo today. I am. Honey G at 9:10. Good news is, Chris, we've been to the shop that rhymes with Warts Firex, and we've got you I was going to say an identical outfit. It's not. But we are dressing you as Honey G for Any Other Bingo this morning.
Yes.
9:10. It's one not to miss.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So good. Hayley Steinfeld, Grey and Zed starving on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. That's going to be massive. 7:51. Kings of Leon coming up. I know we talk about this a lot in the afternoon, but it's trending on Twitter at the moment. It's one of the moments. When is the best time of day to have a shower? What do I always say? Morning, right?
Yeah.
You always say evening.
Why? When we're doing the breakfast show, I say evening because no time in the morning.
People who shower first thing in the morning tend to be more creative, productive and more alert.
Right.
And it has to be a hot shower in the morning. Shower before bed is so wrong.
So what about the people who shower at night? You're not saying any nice things about them?
Well, there isn't anything on there.
This is ridiculous.
Anyway, it was trending earlier. So night, 34%. Morning, 66%. As I thought.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
And now we can join James Arthur at home in his bed. Good morning.
Oh, mate, how are you doing?
Oh, is this the middle of the night for you, is it?
It certainly is. Sorry, though. I'm not used to this time of the day. But...
It's quite morning voice.
You've only seen 1.755 and it's not now this time, is it?
Yeah, I'm hoping this voice clears up by the time the Radio 1 Live Lounge comes around.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get from that voice to the voice that you're going to be having at midday today?
It's miraculous.
It is incredible.
A lot of honey.
Right.
And tea.
Yeah, you need a good throat steaming.
I definitely do.
So you're in bed. Are you alone, James?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
just checking. Because otherwise it's awkward for the other person where they've just got to be quiet while you're on Radio 1.
Be quiet a couple of minutes, please.
James, so looking forward to having you in the Live Lounge today. Obviously you're doing Say You Won't Let Go, which is literally number one everywhere. You're number one in Australia.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I can't believe I can be number one on the other side of the globe.
I wouldn't be able to get my head around that, really. And what's your cover going to be?
I'm going to do Emily Sandé, Hurts.
Oh!
Awesome.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Are you going to be popping microwave meals in the background? Because it does sound a little bit like that.
we're going to do something. I wasn't sure how to approach that one, but
we can do it for you. We can stick around if you want, and we'll get some microwave meals in and do it live. Unless you've got a better idea, and you've probably planned it, and you've got some completely different arrangement, right, James?
Yes. Yeah. Right. I think it's how I would do it.
Okay. Fine. So he'll be doing the current single, and he'll also be doing Emily Sandé, Hurt. Are you? How are you feeling about Little Mix knocking you off the top?
Yeah, I'm very bitter.
Yeah, I will.
No, I'm joking. No, it's great. It's a great song. I really like it. / still bitter.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, right. So, James, we'll see you at midday. Get up soon and have a shower or something. Oh, by the way, are you a shower in the morning or shower in the evening, man? I'm just checking.
I like to have a bath, actually.
Were you having a bath before the live lounge today?
I wasn't expecting that.
Northern, didn't it? I'm having a bath. Probably have one before, I think. I don't want to smell coming in there.
As I thought before. Right.
Celebrities can have one at midday as well, though, can't they?
They can do whatever they want. Celeb. James, we'll see you later on, all right?
All right, mate. See you in a bit.
Looking forward to seeing you, bye.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
This is BBC Radio 1, and that is Rihanna and Diamonds. It's 12 minutes past 8, and it's Scott Mills in for Nick Grimshaw on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. I'm excited to say that Emily Berrington and Gemma Chan from Humans on Channel 4 are here. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Right, so here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm always late to TV shows. I'm famous for it. So I started watching Series 1 of Humans this week. And now I am doing the binge-watching thing.
Is that because you knew we were coming on?
I'll be honest. Yes. No. People have been saying it to me for ages, going, you've got to watch this show, you've got to watch this show. But what I tend to do, and I know it's bad, is I just tend to watch trash, whatever's on that night or that week. But I'm so glad that I found this show because it is brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
It's the best. And I love that you guys are here because now I feel a bit, because I've just literally come to the party, I feel a bit starstruck.
Yeah, I guess the other thing with it as well is I feel kind of weird now meeting you guys because to me, you're robots.
Yeah.
I know, it must be a surprise that we're human beings.
You're kind of human.
We're real.
So if nobody has seen this show before, can you just get people's head around it and explain what the show is?
Go on.
Okay, Emily. We're working out who's going to say what.
Go on, Emily.
So, it's a drama set in a parallel present, so a world that looks just like now. The one big difference being that technology has advanced a really long way in the sense that you can have a synth, which is a humanoid robot that lives in your home, does all the menial jobs for you.
Does all the jobs that humans don't want to do anymore.
Mm. I mean, you're very quick to offer a juice and a coffee, aren't you?
Yeah, all the time. She is. She's always.
Not you. I mean Anita.
My character. Another way to think of it would be like imagine a world where your iPhone came to life, and you could get intimate with
so,
it.
So yes. So normally these synths or robots, they don't have any emotions, do they?
That's right.
And they can't think kind of independently, but some of you have been enhanced.
Exactly. Yes. There are some special ones.
And that's where the fun starts, really.
Yeah.
In the show.
I think the other thing with it as well is when I first heard about the show, I've got to be honest, it sounded quite, I thought it was going to be really sci-fi, and that's not really my thing.
No.
But I think what's amazing about this show is it, the storylines with it are as good as any other drama, any other... not soap, that would be the wrong way to put it. No, you really buy into the characters with it on actually a human level.
Yeah. You know, because also we've got so much good stuff that we see here now from like Netflix and all that. And so sometimes some British dramas you go, well, it's not quite as good. But this is up there with the American ones, I think.
Oh, thank you.
I really do.
It is a co-production
with
an American network, AMC.
So. Okay. And it was originally a Swedish series, so it's got all the kind of cool
Scandi ideas behind it.
Yeah,
Real Humans.
Which I haven't watched. Have you
watched it?
No, I haven't watched it. I agree that it's not a sci-fi. It's not a traditional sci-fi at all.
No. It's been called sci-fi for non-sci-fi fans, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's me. The first series, obviously, was massive. One of the most talked about series of the year. For the second series, which starts on Sunday on Channel 4 at 9 o'clock, there's been a huge campaign, hasn't there? There's been like posters all over like buses and on, on the underground in London. Do you see those and go, oof, pressure?
A little bit, yes.
Do you?
I was sort of standing opposite my own face on the tube the other day thinking, come on, it's gonna be good. But yeah, there is pressure because the first series was a big success and difficult second album. You never know if the second one will be as big a success, but we hope that people will stick with it that liked it and that new people will discover it as well.
What we found, and we were talking about this last night, weren't we, Chris, when we were talking about it, your mannerisms or kind of lack of mannerisms is that's what impresses us the most. How do you get to that? Because obviously you look human-ish, but it's the way you walk and the way you hold yourself.
And it's all
so
really
clever.
Similar between the different actors as well. That's what I don't get. It's not just one interpretation of what a robot or a synth would be. You're somehow all doing exactly the same.
Yeah, well, we had an amazing choreographer called Dan O'Neill, who works with Frantic Assembly. And we went to something called a synth school to learn, all of us that play synths, learn the kind of universal language of movement, as it was called. and we learned, we basically learned from scratch how to be synths. So he taught us how to do everything from walking to standing up, sitting down.
But all together.
And, yeah. Because we couldn't all just come in and freestyle.
No, that's what I mean, because everyone moves the same way, looks the same way.
And all our storylines were separate to begin with, so we could have easily just gone off and developed some mad robot thing on our own, which would be the disaster.
Why didn't they film that? Synth school? This sounds amazing.
Well, we've had requests that we open a synth school, that I think we should start doing sort of Saturday classes for people.
Also, what I like is the voices. Like, did they teach you that as well, or that's just something that you have to do?
No, they didn't teach us that. That was something we could kind of just... We had quite free rein on that, didn't we?
Gemma, I want to... If people haven't seen it, I want to play you now as Anita in setup mode, because it's great.
Hello, Joe. I'm now securely bonded to you as my primary user. It's very nice to meet you.
I love it.
We were considering asking you to bond with us as our primary user when you came in. We thought that'd be a bit weird.
No, I can.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you?
Okay.
Who wants
Scott and Chris. Okay, here we go. You go, Chris.
Okay. You just hold hands, right?
Yeah. Gosh, what do I say?
Say hello, Chris.
Okay. Hello, Chris.
I'm now securely bonded to you as my primary user.
Oh, she's even doing the eyes. She's even doing the eyes.
Her eyes have changed colour. You can't see it, but they have.
You know the eyes, is that contacts?
No, that's post-production. You can't wear coloured contact lenses for enough hours of the day, apparently, for a filming schedule. So, so someone has to colour them all in afterwards.
Wow, I'm learning so much about this.
Yeah, it does make you not trust people with green eyes out and about, I find.
Yeah, we have heard that that's been a big problem. No, we haven't. But
because the show changes how you think. You do think yourself, even though you know it's not true, you do kind of think yourself, you look at people out and about and you go, God, I wonder if they are actually since. And this is based on a true story.
We've had a text from Pippa going, I saw humans being filmed at a train station. It was hilarious because they were all plugged in and everyone kept running over and ruining filming because they kept going over and trying to plug their phones in.
They did, yes!
To charge their phones.
Yeah, absolutely true. I've had people come up to me in the pub and try and switch me off under my chin.
I've been that as well.
A huge invasion of personal space.
It is a bit, isn't it?
So, still, I'm glad they like the show.
So your life's normal.
Yeah.
I also want to play a bit where Gemma, obviously they don't really have emotions, they have to be told what to do. So there's a bit of over laughing here, like career laughing almost.
But known you were going to be joining us for breakfast, Anita. I'd have got some micro chips.
I apologise, Anita. That was my husband trying to be funny.
Finally, someone to laugh at my jokes.
Besides you and me.
And then she has to be told to stop laughing before she does.
But that is the laugh you do when your boss cracks a joke.
Yes.
Right, OK, we're going to play... We'll play You, Me at Six, Night People, and then we'll continue our chat with Gemma and Emily on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. The Stars of Humans is 8:20.
The Scott Mills Daily.
That's You, Me at Six and Night People on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. It's Scott Mills here, 8:23, and we're with Gemma Chan and Emily Berrington from Humans. The new series starts on Sunday at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. And I would have been binge-watched all of the first series by then, so I'd be fully up to speed.
Where are you up to?
Oh, I'm quite early on, like episode 4-ish.
Okay, that's halfway.
Halfway, but Anita's just started to go quite wrong. They've had to take her back.
Yeah, where are you up to, Scott? Have the other options been, the add-ons been activated yet?
Not yet.
Can't quite remember.
I'm really looking forward to that. I also enjoy it when the synths malfunction a little bit. I mean that's clever acting, I think.
I know, that's amazing. Yeah. Will Tudor is particularly good at that, who plays Odie.
Well, I've got him here. I've got him here being corrupted.
Hello, George. How are you? You. Multiple faults detected upon startup. What would you like to do?
It's so crazy.
It's clever. Clever,
isn't it? We always said that Odie's like permanently got the beach ball of death spinning round on his little screen in his mind.
And then all he does is offer his owner toast and jam. And after that episode, I just went around for the rest of the day going, would you like some toast and jam?
That's very good.
Then would you like some toast and jam, George? Your favourite is apricot.
Now, here's the thing. We had the Radio 1 Teen Awards at the weekend. We think the same thing happened to Jess Glynn. I think she malfunctioned. Have a listen to this. She got stuck for a minute there, didn't she?
And would you like some toast and jam, George?
What are we saying? That Jess Glynn is a sin?
Possibly. Mm. She was wearing glasses to disguise her eyes.
Has she got green eyes?
I don't know. Oh. Hey, listen, there's loads going on today. You're very welcome to stick around. Honey G is playing Inuyo Bingo after 9.
Oh, that is amazing.
Isn't that great?
It's incredible.
And we're going to try and get to the bottom of what all that's about. And then James Arthur in the Live Lounge from 12. What a good day, eh?
Wow.
But I know that you've got loads to do. You're on the One Show tonight as well.
Yes, we are.
Do you know what you've got to do on the One Show? Are they going to get you to do robot dancing?
I think we are going to be teaching
a bit of synth school, aren't we?
Exactly.
What does that involve? What do you have to do for that?
It's quite a hard show on the radio. It's to do with our physicality, the stuff that we learn. I don't know why I just did robot arms, because that's the opposite of what we do. But we'll be teaching them a little bit of head turns and
the eye thing.
But then before that, I've got to go, and I'm just going to plug my play now. I'm teching a play that opens on Thursday, Dead Funny, at the Vaudeville Theatre in the West End.
Catherine Parkinson in it.
So it's a bit of a humans reunion.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
No.
Can you do the synth stare at Chris, please? Because the cameras are on right now. Maybe both of you can stare him out.
Should we do a head turn?
Yeah.
Hang on, head turn. Okay, the cameras are on now on the Radio 1 website. We'll get this. There's a little GIF later on, probably.
Okay. Should we do a 3, 2, 1?
Do you want me to do a 3, 2, 1?
Yeah.
Okay, and 3, 2, 1. I know that you can't see that, but that is really freaky.
That's freaky when you're a fan of the show.
Oh. Right.
I'll whack it up on Instagram.
I love that we did that on the radio.
Okay, we'll put it up.
Oh, yes, Gemma's documentary. Have we got time?
Go on, then.
Gemma's done an amazing documentary about AI.
How to Build a Human on Saturday night, 9 o'clock.
And where's that?
On Channel 4. We've done something completely mad. We've got some scientists to try and make a real-life robot of me.
It's amazing.
And we try and pass it off as me.
Hey.
So, yeah, it's like... it's art imitating life, imitating art, I don't know.
Keep going.
Do you ever forget that you're not a robot because you're talking about it and doing it so much?
No, I mean, I find it very hard now to do anything in life without being a bit robotic.
Right. Okay. The new series of Humans.
I take that back.
The new series of Humans is on Sunday at 9 o'clock on Channel 4. And Emily and Gemma, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Wow, I loved them. Loved them. Thank you, Gemma and Emily from Humans, for coming in today. And I'm just going to binge watch the rest of the first series tonight. That's my plan.
But genuinely, such a good show. We're not just saying it.
No, really not. What do you think your favourite ever X Factor themed week has been? Random question. Big Band Week. Is that still on?
No. I don't think they do that anymore, do they?
Obviously, Halloween week this week. Fright Night.
Completely chosen at random by the random generator machine.
I wasn't expecting that. I think mine would be... well, number one's week is always good. And do you remember when they had Queen versus Michael Jackson week for no reason, about 3 years ago?
I assume Brian May was on or something
like that. Oh, of course he was, yeah. All right, we've got a theme on bangers this week. If you don't know what bangers is, we do it at 2:40 normally in the afternoon, where I pick a song and Chris picks a song, and then one of you lot comes on and decides which one is the greatest. This week, it's We Were Robbed week. So it's songs that either Chris or me have chosen before, which didn't get picked the first time around.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
What a weird day. Honey G is playing Innuendo Bingo at 9:10 this morning. I mean... whoever booked this, I don't know which member of the team, but hats off.
Pay rise.
This is an incredible booking.
I love how excited you are about it because, I don't know, an act like this normally, I don't think would be your thing.
I'm all over it. It's definitely my thing.
It's very you.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Thank you.
Yes, Niall. I think we're all still confused as to why Grimmy called him Niall Horan on stage. And proved that if you're in One Direction, or were, not that I'm saying it's over, you can literally say anything on stage, any word at the Teen Awards, and get this reaction.
Just say any word. Doug.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio
1.
Okay, so normally in the afternoon we do this thing called Bangers, where I pick a song that I truly believe to be brilliant. Chris does the same. Then one of you lot comes on and decides which one gets actually picked. This week we're doing We Were Robbed week. Love a themed week.
We've not really done a themed week with this before.
No.
But whenever one of us loses, loads of people are texting going, oh, Chris, or oh, Scott, you were robbed.
So these are songs that we were robbed with before. So songs that we both each picked that didn't get chosen at the time. Yes, Hattie.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What are you doing this morning?
I'm on my way into work.
What do you do?
I'm a sales rep.
Okay, but also you're with the horses quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. I've been up to see the horses this morning, put them out in the field, in the rain, miserable things.
Okay, are these your horses, rather?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Okay, should we shout out the horses, what they're called?
Yeah, Cali Monster and Lily.
And they're listening now, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Awesome. Okay, whereabouts do you live?
Cheltenham.
Okay, so you know what Bangers is. We do it in the afternoon. This is a song that I've picked before that I'd really like to get another go. June. Mason featuring Princess Superstar, or The Who's.
Check it out now.
Perfect Exceder.
I mean, this is just Scott Mills in a song. It is good.
I mean, this is the ideal warm-up for Honey G, right?
Honey G.
Are you excited?
Of course I'm excited.
Of course you are. What a booking.
Hattie, you can have Scott's choice, or you can have my choice, which is this.
Oh.
I love this song. This is Paramore, Brick by Boring
Brick. Barry the Castle.
Oh, good song.
Barry the Castle.
Oh, good song. They're both really good.
Thank you.
Think of the horses.
Think of the horses. What would Tally Monster want?
Think of Honey G.
What would she want? I think I'm going to go with what Tally Monster would choose, and Tally Monster would go with Scott.
Yeah. Thank you. That is Mason featuring Princess Superstar and Perfect Exceder on BBC Radio 1, bringing back a lot of good memories for people. Rebecca says, I'm 23 now, and this just reminds me of being sick on the waltzes in year 8. Amazing start to my working week.
I like this text. Right decision. This is a tune. Big Luke trucking up the M6. It's a lovely image.
Isn't it? Did it say how many stone he is? That's normally the truckers go, I'm a 21 stone trucker, but I love that one.
A few people saying I'm robbed.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works in the We Are Robbed week.
No, that's like it's eating itself. Mark in Cardiff says, this is actually the first banger you've ever pulled out of the bag. Come on.
What about this one? Yes, Chris Starr, you did just lose bangers based on what a horse would choose.
Yeah.
It was Tally Monster's choice.
Yep. Someone's like, don't be ridiculous. Everyone knows that all horses love Paramore. We'll do bangers tomorrow at 8:30 on We Were Robbed week.
One all.
Right now, I'm mostly thinking about this.
Urban music is about being real, true to the game. You know, I'm not any Tom, Dick or Harry. I'm a natural born performer.
Is it worth it? Let me work it.
Wow.
Put the thing down, flip it and reverse it.
Chris, I'm going to meet Honey G in 15 minutes.
I know, and I've not seen you like this for a long time.
God. Let me search it. I can't contain. I just did fangirling. You know when you fan your eyes?
Are you going to ask her to marry you? That's the classic fangirl thing, isn't it?
I'm different, you know. Keep it real. I'm down. That's what I'm down with.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, listeners, I wish you could see what I can see right now. I'll put a picture up for you. We've gone full Honey G makeover for Chris for this morning's innuendo bingo.
Kind of. It's like it's nearly there.
It's not the same.
The glasses aren't quite right.
They're not. You need more like ski ones. But no, it's fine. I mean, it's a good start. I am going to have to wipe Honey G's glasses because every time I see her being interviewed, they're really dirty, the sunglasses. Obviously, she'll be hit with water, so that will clean them naturally. But I am going to have to give them a little wipe. I don't think she'll take her glasses off, but do you reckon I'm allowed to go up to her and just like...
I don't know, you might get taken down by security.
Do you think? 10 minutes to Honey G, innuendo bingo. This is BBC Radio 1. That is L King, X's and O's. It is 9:10 on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Can't believe I'm saying this. It's Honey G.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good. Good to see you. Thanks so much for coming in today. When they told me that we'd actually booked you for Innuendo Bingo, I was like, you're joking me.
Yeah, man. It's me in the real blood and flesh.
Isn't it? So, what's it like in the X Factor house right now? Did you just come from there now?
Yeah, I just came from the X Factor house right now. Yeah, so obviously been in the house for a good couple of weeks now, good few weeks, and really enjoying it. It's kind of been a bit life-changing for me. Mm. And, you know, I'm really enjoying, obviously, the company in the house, and everyone's bonded really well, and everyone's getting on really well.
Do you get the best room in the house?
Well, actually, it's funny you should say that. Because I do have my own room, so
yeah.
I've been allocated my own room, so I'm special like that. But yeah,
well, so everyone else has to share, but you get your own one.
something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, and I was quite pleased. The executive producers gave me my own room.
Yes.
But yeah, the other rooms, like there's quite a lot of, you know, the girls are in one room, the boys are in the other room, and everyone has to sleep in like bunk beds and stuff like that.
Not you, though. That's how you roll.
Well, no, I do have to sleep in a bunk bed.
Oh, well, that's a good image.
But it's in her own room.
Yeah, that's the way that I roll. And also, I think that the bunk beds are quite historical. They've been used previously because some of them have, like, writing on them, like, I love Simon Cowell.
Oh, wow. You're probably sleeping in the same bed as Frankie Kokoza.
Probably, or somebody like that. Maybe, like, you know, who knows?
Andy Abraham was here.
Fleur East,
Rebecca
Ferguson, who knows, might have slept in that bed.
Do you think you're the only hip-hop star that sleeps in a bunk bed?
Probably. Yeah, you probably do have a point there, yeah.
At the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, hip-hop stars who are rich and famous and that have made it probably don't sleep in bunk beds.
They don't. 50 Cent definitely doesn't. I see that he's been on your side.
Yeah, I was really, really chuffed that he recently endorsed me.
That must feel crazy to you.
Yeah, it's been crazy. He said some really wicked things, you know, as far as I gather, he'd said some really, really wicked things. And obviously he's shown his support for me and that he's backing me, which is really good because, you know, obviously he's a massive legend, you know, in hip hop himself. So, you know, to be backed by someone who's completely genuine and someone who's made it in the hip hop game is pretty sick for me.
Have you got any hip hop beef with anyone? Have you started that yet?
No, I mean, there's not really any beef with me. You know, I sort of like to get on with everyone, really.
Do you know what? I was talking to Matt Edmondson from Extra Factor, and he was saying that all the contestants absolutely love you, like you're their favourite. They do, like just to be around, like because you're a nice person.
Yeah, I mean, I like to kind of, you know, like to get on with people, and I've always been like good, like getting on with people and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, me and all the X Factor contestants have all really, you know, hit it off basically, and we're all bonding really well. But yeah, I mean, you never know. Maybe when I drop my first album, like I don't know, you know, if the haters are gonna start popping. You know, you never know.
You never know when they're gonna start popping.
But yeah, you know, like. Yeah, it's all about, you know, really dropping the album first. But yeah, got to get to that point first.
Well, we'll be on your side anyway if you need backup.
Oh, wicked.
What do you, after the show is finished, what are you hoping for? What do you want?
Basically, I'm really looking for a recording contract to launch, obviously, my career as a rap music artist. Mm-hmm. And obviously, X Factor, I entered X Factor because obviously, you know, I'm looking for a record deal. And I'm keen, obviously, on the record deal with Simon Cowell, which is his label, which is Psycho. So, yeah, basically, I want to be like a, you know, a multi-platinum recordings, you know, rap music artist, you know, and blow up, you know, and do like global tours and stuff, like, you know, blow up like people like Jay-Z have, Pharrell, mm-hmm. Missy Elliott. And you know, that's the direction that I really want to go in. I've had a taste of rap culture and the rap game, and I just want more now.
And what would your music video be, the first one? Have you got any ideas about that already?
Break on Saturday Night. But,
oh, you love that? Yeah, we were really proud of that because I said to Brian Freeman, who's the production director, before we did the choreography, I said, I really want to do, you know, a dance break. And he was like, brilliant, you know, Honey G wants to get involved with this now, let's get stuck in. So I got involved with the dance break and I was like, so up for that. I was like, really down with it. But yeah, in terms of what I want to, you know, in terms of my first music video, obviously, you know, it's still kind of early sort of days. Like I haven't really spoken to the team, production team at Psycho or the A&R about obviously releasing my first, you know, music video yet. But I know the production team and the A&R team work really, really hard. So I know obviously, you know, if I do release something with them, then it'll be pretty mega. It'll be a sick piece of material.
Awesome. What I most want to know, and you probably get asked this a lot, right, is that everyone says to me, is Honey G real? Now, here's the thing. I know that you've been sending demos out to like One Extra, like for quite a few years.
Yeah, Charlie was telling us that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether any of you guys know, but I actually knew One Extra, BBC Radio One Extra, when it was founded.
Yeah.
So I've been actually been involved with BBC One Extra, like, ever since, you know, the station was launched.
So, like, when the X Factor ends, or when you get knocked out, let's hope that doesn't happen, like, I mean, I would quite like it if it wasn't real and, like, you just whipped the glasses off, like, took the hat off, shook the hair out and was like, I got you me. All!
This is me.
But that's not going to happen, right?
No. Because, I mean, basically, I'm not Missy Elliott, I'm not Pharrell, I'm not Jay-Z, I'm Honey G. And basically, you know, obviously there has been some, you know, chat about, you know, is Honey G real?
A lot, yeah.
You know, I mean, basically my response to that is that, you know, basically I've been pushing urban music the whole of my life,
yeah.
And I've been involved in urban music, you know, since I was very, very young, and I've been pushing music since I was very young as well. I also come from a musical background, a musical family, so I grew up, you know, as a trained musician, and I also studied music, technology, studio production at university as well. So, you know, people who come in, you know, haters and stuff, who say, you know, that I'm not real, you know, these guys just need to check themselves, because they just don't mean nothing to me.
I think it's just because you're a big character, obviously, on the show, and you know that, really.
Do you think you can win?
Do I think I can win?
Or who is going to win if you're not going to win?
Well, you know, obviously there are some big contenders in the contest, and there's some very, very good voices, you know, remaining in the competition. I've got a real fighting spirit about me, and I've always been like a very competitive person. So yeah, of course I want to win. And my priority at the moment is making sure that I get through every single live show.
But you've never been in the bottom?
Not so far, no. So I, you know, I'm really keen to obviously make it through to the X Factor final, you know.
Awesome. Okay, Honey G is with us. We're going to play Innuendo Bingo after this from Blossoms. You'll be able to watch it on the Radio 1 website. I will put you over there in the Innuendo Bingo spot, and we'll do it after this track, Blown Rose.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Honey G is here this morning. Hey, this, right, you know your glasses. I'm not going to ask you to take them off, because that's your trademark. Right?
Okay.
But can I just give them a little clean? Because sometimes on some of the VTs on X Factor, I'm like, oh, they're dirty again. Fingerprints. Do you mind if I come over?
Yeah, sure. It's so just that...
I won't take them off. I just need to...
Just from the front.
Just
there,
from the front. Because I want you to look the best for bingo.
There's probably some kind of endorsement deal she's got with the glasses there.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping to be able to afford a new pair at some point.
You shouldn't have to worry about that now. They should be sending them to you.
Oh, well, yeah.
I like the slightly blingier ones they get you for the show. They're really good.
Oh, yeah, the ones that they give me for the show are wicked. Yeah.
You need to get the ones with the little wipers on. Have you seen them?
You won't need them after this. Okay, let's play Innuendo Bingo with Honey G.
It's time to make another celebrity wet. This is Innuendo Bingo.
Okay. Cameras are on now. If you want to watch this, go to the Radio 1 website on your phone, tablet, computer, laptop. Let's do this. Okay, so, Honey G, no right, swearing, right. Please. You can use Chris as a target, not the bin. That's just really
cheers,
for show.
Cheers.
And, warning that Chris does have quite a powerful spray, because he does this twice a week. So make sure you get him back. Give as good as you get is my tip, okay? As much water as you can fit into your mouth. Obviously, you will hear some clips of innuendo, and hopefully the water will flood out. Honey G is on.
It's nerf-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit-bit
OK, first though, we're going to Match of the Day on BBC One. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of football, as you all know, but I have to say, this sounds like a very interesting tactic.
He's got too much for Oviedo there, and he's so confident. And when you're a fullback in that position, it's an absolute nightmare. And he's comfortable there with the ball at his feet and a man up his backside.
Oh. And we're off.
Good one. Oh, that went all over me.
I know. Match of the Day. BBC One there.
A man up his backside.
And now we're going over to Woman's Hour on BBC Radio 4. Here's the next clip.
It's Nerf Bit the Bit the Fine Bit.
We join presenter Jane Garvey celebrating the life and times of actress and comedian Angie Lamar. Now, Radio 4 speaks to people all over the world in many different time zones. And their guests, well, they really can be up to anything when they cross over to them. Like this.
And Angie went on to star in the TV programme Get Up, Stand Up. She toured widely to lots of acclaim in her stand-up shows. And she wrote a hit play called Funny Black Women on the Edge. I talked to her when she was in Jamaica and she got up at dawn's crack to talk to us.
I think she meant the crack of dawn there.
Oh.
Right. Honey G, were you up at dawn's crack this morning? Spit it out over him if you want. Yes, that's it. And now, one of our favourites from last week. We're going over to Newsnight on BBC Two. Fill your cheeks with water there, honey G. Right. Go on, you need to get him back. A very unusual line of questioning, this, from presenter Kirsty Walk.
But you believe he was maligned, however, you, yeah, as an author and the Plantagenets. I mean, tell me about what you think about this dig.
It's extra cold today, it feels.
Is it?
You enjoying this, honey G?
Yeah, of course I am. It's great fun.
It is fun, isn't it?
Might be the first rapper we've had on this.
I think you're right.
It's Nerf Bit the Bit the Fine Bit.
And now, back to Radio 4 and their long-standing and hugely popular programme, Desert Islet Dip. Ooh, Desert... Sorry, honey G. You got a face full there.
Sorry.
That nearly went really wrong. Desert Island Discs.
Oh. Don't slip.
Sorry, I nearly slipped.
We've done well up to now.
On Desert Island Discs, they book only the very best guests, often known for their incredible intellect and talent. Just like the British poet and documentary filmmaker Imtiaz Darker. I mean, this is incredible.
Let's have your final piece then. Tell me about your eighth choice of the morning.
Well, I work late in the night, and wherever I am in the night, I come at 12:45.
Wherever she is.
I come at 12:45.
It is a wet one today. She was talking about her love of the shipping forecast, which is also on Radio 4. Still on.
You're playing well, Honey G.
It's going well.
Okay, cool. Nice one.
Yeah. If you're shortening Honey G, do you rather G or Hun or Honey?
Okay, Hun.
Some people might call me...
Yeah, because you can't say Honey...
Well, you know, Sharon Osbourne calls me... sometimes she calls
Blario.
Me... sometimes she calls me Miss Gigi or Mrs. G.
Gigi.
But what do you prefer? Because you can't say Honey G all the time, or can you? How do you shorten it?
Yeah, I mean, usually I prefer Honey G most of the time.
Oh, okay, right.
Full title.
That's us told. Now we're going over to Inside the Factory on BBC Two. Now on this show, presenter Greg Wallace finds out how some of this country's most famous products are made. Absolutely fascinating show to watch. This time he's finding out how baked beans are created. Modern technology has really revolutionised the industry, but absolutely staggering what used to happen back in the day.
Finally, a laser sorter actually detects any discoloured beans and rejects them with an air jet. Honestly, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Okay, go on then.
20 years ago, there would be people flicking the beans off with spoons.
Very different back then.
20 years ago, there would be people flicking the beans off.
Wow. To make baked beans. And now an absolute classic from BBC Hereford and Worcester. Got your water there, honey? G?
Mm-hmm.
BBC Local Radio, they love a phone-in. This is one of the best. Here's the presenter asking, what's the best thing you've ever been up? Oh. I could listen to your laugh all day, by the way. It's really good. I might have to make a compilation. Okay.
We go again.
What's the best thing you've ever been up?
In my adult life, I think the most interesting thing I've been up is Lord Hereford's knob.
That's a very popular landmark in southeast of England there. Okay, now another classic from the archives. Over to the men's weightlifting at the Rio Olympics. Refill your waters, please. It's the 105 kg to be precise. Here we join former weightlifter Michaela Breeze telling John Harker, well, just about her preferences, really.
I don't know, each lifter, I guess, has their own preference. For me, I used to prefer the snatch. Mm-hmm. It was over quicker. It didn't hurt as much.
Honey G, you look like you need to let go of that water. Go on. Yes.
Let it rain.
You've been spat on by some great people.
I know.
Think about it. Your
Will
job is
Ferrell,
ridiculous.
Gerald Butler, Honey G.
Now, we're going over to the Great Chelsea Garden Challenge now on BBC Two. And it's planting day. I didn't realise that gardening could be so competitive. I mean, this contestant will literally do absolutely anything to win this.
The last two times, my finish really wasn't as good as I wanted it, but it's feeling quite good control for the first time on planting day, so it's quite good for me.
Eucalyptus.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, fantastic. Let me see if they fit in my hole.
And that was Honey G in your Nabingo. High fives all round.
Well done.
Listen, good luck for the weekend on X Factor, and thanks so much for coming in
girl.
Today.
Nice one.
We will see you soon.
Thanks.
We can get a video of that for you later if you didn't watch it at the time. That was incredible.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Oof, just need to take a little moment here to kind of take in all of what's happened this morning. Gemma Chan and Emily Berrington from Humans on Channel 4, my new favourite show, came in. Obviously, I'm a year late, but I did start watching it this week. They were awesome because they're robots in the show. And they even did a little bit of a robot stare to you, which is on your Twitter now. And then Honey G, that just happened.
You never know, maybe when I drop my first album, like, I don't know, you know, if the haters are going to start popping.
This is BBC Radio 1.
If you missed the Honey G video, and if it's your kind of thing, if that would kind of be like get you through the workday or a day at school, we'll get it on BBC iPlayer, I believe, and also the YouTubes for you when we can. It was a wet one today.
Yeah, I'm so confused.
Glasses dripping. What are you confused about?
Just, everything.
What do you mean everything?
Just everything.
We're no clearer to finding the answer, are we?
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Big show today. Tomorrow, we have Mr. 305 himself on. It's Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide. Amazing. He's always such a good guest.
Yeah, he's probably one of our favourite guests to come on. He's just, because he's massively famous, right? But he's happy to be quite insightful about his life.
Yeah. Now, he's called Mr. 305, or that's one of his names, because 305 is one of the area codes of Miami, Florida, where he grew up. Remember when he came in before and he started doing shout-outs and local area codes in the UK, which was kind of him, like Hemel Hempstead.
Mr. 01442, what they do, what they don't, what it is, what it ain't.
And Newport in Wales.
Two times for 01633.
And Plymouth, obviously.
One time for 01752.
So halfway through the week already tomorrow. So we'll do Bumbleo Wednesday, and we will have Pitbull on the show tomorrow morning.